cliffcentral.com.
This is Kwela Deza,
and you're listening to Delighted with Rami and Romeo on Cliff Central.
Oh yeah, that's right. Guess what? It's a Wednesday and I am back. Romeo ran away. I'm joking. Romeo is coming. I don't know when, but he is on his way. But guess what? That means I get to talk all by myself just because I can. Welcome to Belighted with Rami and Romeo. Well, for the next 5 minutes or so with just Rami, because it's doable and I can. And yeah, I hope you guys had a beautiful week. I had an amazing week. I actually wanted to tell Romeo that today. Last night I didn't sleep because I was cleaning out my phone, okay? And I found a whole track of messages that I used to share with some guy, okay? I like the guy. I don't know if he likes me, but anyway. And the messages, they read like a very good romantic bestseller. It is like the most amazing thing ever. It felt like a book to me. I was like, I can just change the names here and there, and then there we go. We're done. And they were long. I slept at 3 a.m. just to get through the I don't know what to call it, a WhatsApp book? That's what it would be until I find a perfect name. And now, all those people who are laughing in studio right now, guys, I've got Rubber Duck in studio. Let me tell you. Live, in flesh, in the meat, they are here.
In the feathers.
Everything is here. Some of them that got beard.
It is November.
Yeah. They're taking it seriously and literally so. And they're in studio. So, if you don't know who Rubber Duck is, clearly you've been living under a rock for the past 2 years or so. Because Rubber Duck right now is like the biggest and the bestest band you can ever have. I don't care whether it's your birthday, whether it's a big festival at a park.
Bar mitzvah.
You know, it doesn't matter. You know what? In fact, if it was possible, Rubber Duck would come and perform at your funeral. That's how good they are.
Yeah. You know? Didn't we book them for mine?
Exactly. They're playing at Nana's funeral.
Yeah.
So Nick is here, Emil is here, Brandon is here, Sheldon is here, and of course, Nana, the sugar duck, is here.
Yeah. there's some creeper in studio at the back.
And there's a fly on the wall.
Yeah. He's actually our favorite ginger. His name's Puri.
Yeah, and he's got
Orion,
ginger hair
Puri
for real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's
the one
fiery,
who's talking
man.
Too much. The one who's talking too much is Nick. So guys, welcome. Welcome to Belighted.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Oh, always good, eh? Lekker,
cool.
Man.
That's Brendan speaking. That's
me. It is hump day, so I think we're feeling really great. You know, it's hump day, middle of the week, you know, two more days and then we've got the weekend. Not like we have a weekend anyway.
Yeah, weekend we work, eh? So two more days until we work.
So I should be asking you like Monday and Tuesday, Wednesdays. I should be saying like, how was the weekend? Because
you're going
to start working now.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are here. You know, one of the main reasons why we have Belighted, why we have the show, is to basically share with people the journey. Because once you start making it and you're out there, everyone just wants to know which is your first single. Is it selling well? When is your next gig? Fine, we can read that on Facebook. It's not like I'll tell people when your next gig is. But we want to know what made this work. How did we get to where we are right now? And I don't want, hey, you know what? Just for the benefit of the doubt, Rubber Duck.
Yeah.
I'm actually laughing because of the name Rubber Duck. Okay, so who wants to do the honors and just basically in like 30 seconds break it down? Why do we have a rubber duck?
The name.
Yes.
Well, that's quite an interesting story. My dad used to be a lifeguard on Umhlanga Rocks, and he was the girl was drowning outside, a little girl, and he went out to save her. When he got to her, she was kicking and screaming, you know, and a rubber duck happened to float past. So she grabbed onto the rubber duck, and apparently it calmed her down immediately. And then she took her back to the beach. And when I was born, I hated music. I hated water. And the one thing my dad realized is that if he gives me a rubber duck, it'll make me feel comfortable and happy. And it did. It really calmed me down. And I think that's why we went for the name, because the name really makes you feel good. If you think of a rubber duck, everyone knows them as when they were a kid. And yeah, that's why we did it. And the best part of that whole story is that it's absolute rubbish.
I thought I was like, Where is this going? Because I don't know that part of the story.
I saw you tearing up a little there.
Yeah, well, I was like, saved. Because I was thinking maybe she'll say like, save the duck, leave me, save the duck. You know, anything could
That's
have
better.
Happened.
That's
anything
better,
could
yeah.
have happened. But, you know, you were almost like a very good storyteller until just like it started going pear-shaped.
Yeah,
your dad
yeah look,
you.
Look, it is the worst name in the entire world for a band, but it's the one name that you will totally remember. Mm. Emil said we should have called ourselves Plastic Pigeon, but that would have been worse. So we stuck with the second worst name, Rubber Duck, and you'll never forget it.
Well, a friend of mine, Buleng Hopper, Patience Hopper, she said, oh, she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to tune in to listen to Rubber Duck. And then, but then she sends me a very weird message. She says, let me find it quickly. I said, oh yeah. She's like, if we duck the rubber, we might get preggies. Rather rub the duck instead. I was like, and she was like, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to read that out on air. She's like, really? Are you going? I'm like, I'm going to read it out. Yeah.
We must remember that.
Yeah.
If we duck the rubber, we might get preggies. Rather, rub the duck instead.
Yes, we also play at sexual safety events. And, you know.
And right now, speaking of rubbers, we've got like the new flavored ones. Remember?
Yes.
The one that Cyril Ramaphosa introduced in Parliament. He was like, we've got the grape flavor and we've got the apple flavor, the strawberry.
Hi, Mom. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, hope you're not listening.
And I'm like thinking, you know what? We need someone to go with that promo.
Yes.
You know, do a little road show.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can stuff some of the rubbers in your guitar. Mm. And then as you throw them, you just say, duck! And then rubber,
we were actually,
duck!
It's quite funny. We were actually considering making condoms for a while. We were considering getting our own ones done.
Yeah.
To do rubber that at shows. Yeah, rubber duck rubbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I mean, why not? Let's.
Well, we researched it and it turns out pretty costly. I never knew that's how much sex cost.
You know what costs
sex
more?
Sex was never cheap.
Babies cost more, brother.
Yeah.
Babies cost more.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, Brendan. Yeah. Okay, cool. Nick, you're talking too much. Yes. Emil. There's Emil D.
How you doing?
Emil is like the sweetheart of the band, apparently.
Oh, yeah, apparently.
And, yeah, I need to see this.
Well, now he's got tattoos. He's becoming a badass. So,
yeah, no, he's getting better and
you've
better.
You've changed, buddy.
Yeah,
you've changed.
Earrings, beard, tattoos.
The innocence is going. The innocence is going.
Was just a cute bass player now.
And now you're just like a badass.
He went on a Tinder date on Monday.
What? Ooh. 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 You tell us now. Hey.
Yo. Game over.
Game over. Like that's it from you. Okay, let me just go to Brendan now because you're done.
I'm done. Rest in pieces.
Yeah, just rest in pieces because
I
just
can't want to hear about the Tinder. Right?
No. Let's
You'll
not
tell
go.
Me later, baby. Tell
let's
me
not
later.
Go there. Okay, fine. I'm going to ask you the weirdest of questions. Who's the oldest here?
The oldest here?
No, Nana, stop it. The sugar duck does not get into this age thing. No. The four of you, the four
she
guys.
She doesn't age.
Uncle Nicholas is the oldest in the
Nick.
Band.
Oom Nick.
Really?
Why do you say it like
that? No, I'm just asking. I know Sheldon is the baby.
Yeah.
Sheldon, do these guys bully you? Because you can tell us right now, we can sort them out. Did you see the bounce up downstairs? Did you see how buffed that, like, that guy's got like muscles for days. He can mess somebody up.
Yeah. I didn't see him.
That's why we bought Puri.
Puri is our protection.
He's the muscle,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. So, Sheldon is the youngest.
Yeah.
Nick is the oldest. Okay. So now, Sheldon plays saxophone. Okay.
That's right. Mm.
Yeah. And he plays it really, really well.
Thanks, Rami.
Yeah. Like right now, before we started the show, he was playing saxophone on top of the other songs and on top of other people's mixes. I mean, hello. Like he just felt like, you're doing a good job, but I'm just going to add a bit of spice here. There you go. I'm like, when are you resting? When are you resting? Like, you just want to play over everything. We'll have a jingle now. You're going to play.
you don't need any more jingles. You just get him out to play a few songs in between.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, easy. Yeah, let's just do that. Okay, let's talk about the album, guys. Let's talk about The Secret Sunrise. Mm. I like anything that has to do with the sun and the moon and all of that. So tell us, why The Secret Sunrise? Brendan, you answer.
Well, we used to, I don't know if you know of these events, they're called the Secret Sunrise events. So you go to, it's an undisclosed location, they tell you the night before. We have to be there at, what's it, 6 in the morning or 6?
Yeah, even earlier.
Even earlier. Okay, well, you can get there earlier if you want to do yoga, but we like sleeping, so we didn't do the yoga. So we got there at 6, and then you, they're all themed. So you dress up. The one was superheroes. The one was like movies, and like it's just a lot of fun. You go there, and it's you just dance and you just have fun. You act like kids and you mess around and there's no drinking. It's just a really good time.
What kind of a party is that without drinking?
it's like being 12 again. You know, you just you run around in a cape and you're doing superhero moves and you're putting force fields up and it's just a lot of fun. You know,
and you get to wear like a cape, but then like costume, like I can come through as the Flash or She-Ra,
anything you want,
Supergirl.
Exactly.
What's that other one? The sexy one, Catwoman.
Catwoman. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anything one. So that was called the Secret Sunrise, and We used to do them quite often, and they just set you in such a good mood for the rest of the day. You know, you get out to dance, you exercise, and you just leave there feeling so happy. And we like the way like it makes you feel, and we figured that we hope our music will make people feel the same way. And and that's pretty much where we got our influence from. For
okay,
the name.
After that Nick's story, that better be a real story.
That's true.
That
is true.
I'm just checking because I should have brought a lie detector machine here because I don't know who's talking what here. Yeah. I don't know who's talking what here.
Maybe we're not actually rubber duck.
We just not, we are not lying about the Tinder dates.
Okay, wait, pause. Emil, tell us, how was the Tinder date?
It was really nice. She's very sweet. She stays really far.
Where's she from?
She's from Springs.
Yo, hey, yo.
Springs.
Yo.
Now, did she drive to her or did she drive to
we
you?
We met halfway.
Okay. Yo, you're like, where?
So just
end of Germiston there.
So your radius on your Tinder set to full. Eh?
Yo, yeah. Yo. I had to change my status in passport just so I can find her.
Yeah, because I feel like you needed a passport, you know, to get there. You
literally,
know?
Literally. The toll fees are real. Like, yeah. You can't, there's no e-toll out there.
Yeah. It's like proper toll gate. And
you know,
yeah,
you know those cash only.
They open the window, they're like, uh-huh.
Yeah, and we know why you're here.
And you take out your card, they're like, shame, the machine doesn't work. We want cash only.
Cash only.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was very sweet.
So it was all worth it.
It was. Yeah.
So does she know you're the superstar from
Rubber Duck? It was quite funny. She never heard of the band before. And she was like, you know, I actually swiped right before I knew you were in a band. So good for you. It was the beard, I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. You had to go there.
Because normally when you're in a band, they swipe left immediately. They're like, we don't want to put up with this.
Next thing, you'll be making her carry the monitors with you. No, let's not go there.
Next thing. That's the first thing they do, eh?
Let me carry the guitar, guys. That's not right, eh? Okay. Now, you guys write the most amazing songs, eh? And I've got my own ones that I want you guys to play today. But with the way things are looking, I don't know, eh? I don't know. I like the one that says, warning, explicit lyrics.
But then, we had to do that.
But then you had to use like the thinnest and the smallest font. Like all the titles are like Big Wellington, Stay With Me, Avery, then explicit lyrics. Like they're like so small, you can actually miss them.
It's the disclaimer at the bottom, you know?
Yeah, like, and there's two of them. Two.
Yeah, and there are previous singles we've released already.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Okay, I want you to tell the story about the zebra. The Zebra Horse Lounge.
Yeah, we were playing a show in Pretoria. This is a real story, true story, I promise.
Yeah.
And we were driving down Atterbury Road, and then we hit a left, and then we hit a right onto a road called Achilles, right?
It's all very epic sounding, you know.
Yeah. So now so we were actually listening to the Troy soundtrack in the background. And while we were driving, on the left, we saw a zebra. You laugh.
I'm trying not to laugh. I'm listening, yeah.
When zebras are luscious looking.
luscious mane.
Okay. Yeah.
Beautiful
okay.
zebra. And as we got closer, we were entering this place we were going to play at called Monte de Dios, I think.
Yeah.
And there was this big-ass gate. And we're like, wow, this place looks like we're going to Troy. And we went in there, and there was this massive horse. No lies, like those big-ass horses. Like a big the Trojan horse.
Big wooden horse, huge wooden horse.
Yeah.
And then we carried on driving, and then we kept seeing the zebras on our left. But as we got closer to the bloody zebra, did we realize that it was a horse wearing a zebra blanket.
Who would do that? Who would do who that would to do people?
It's like the deception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, right, why?
It's like, I don't like Superman. Let's make you Spider-Man for the day.
Yeah, but then this like Spider-Man, this, but then there's no web. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing happening.
We got very, very confused by this, and then we were shocked that the horse actually got us. It fooled us completely. We thought it was a zebra. And at sound check, we wrote the song Zebra Horse about exactly what we saw that day, which was
right
a horse.
There.
About the driving.
That
about
damn
the face,
zebra is a horse.
But that's another thing that I know about you, that we can be sitting here right now in studio and we can easily compose a song. Yeah. About the computers and the controls that you're seeing in front of us, you know, why not write a song about me? I think I deserve a song. I don't know. I mean, why not? I don't see why not. So I think that's what we're going to do. But I want you guys to play now. Songwriting, guys. Let's talk about songwriting. I think it's for you guys. It's like one of the easiest things for you to do. I mean, Sheldon. He hears the song for the first time, and then there he goes. And then he starts playing all over it. And then Emil starts thinking, oh, what a beautiful bass line. But you know what? I'm just going to tweak it a bit and just like add a few.
Could be better.
Yeah, it's like I can walk on top of the bass line with your own bass.
You know?
Yeah.
Double walk.
Yeah, just double walk like. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Walk all over.
Yeah, let's just make it funky. Let's just make it funky.
Well, you walked all over Tinder.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
I feel like I share things in private,
you know,
with my brother.
You know what I mean?
And now the whole world. Also, mom, I'm sorry.
You know, now it's mom. it's like all of a sudden, it's like, stop, Nick, we're kicking you out of
the
studio.
Because he's the oldest. He does this. Because he's the oldest.
Nick, you're going to stop it.
But Emil, like, here's the question.
We must put him in a corner.
Is she listening?
You know what, Nick? You two, you and Nick.
I love
Rami.
Rami's
out.
My friend.
Yeah. Rami, so this is how we write songs.
Exactly.
I promise you, this is how we get the content.
We're going to write a song called Swipe Right.
Yeah, Swipe Right or...
Swiped Right.
Or like that girl from Kindergarten. Something like that. I know you would. Something weird like that. Okay, guys. People have bands, and half of the time, bands don't last because you find that they've been put together by force. I don't know if there's another way
Cowell.
Of putting it.
Another word is Simon Cowell.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. You know Simon is listening, right?
Yeah, I hope he's not listening. Yeah,
he is listening because he was going to invite you guys to come on over, but now that you're like just messing his name up, it's not going to work. So a lot of people, they get into a band because they have to be in a band. Like you're saying, like with the show. Yeah. They're like, okay, you guys are not good soloists, but you're good. You make a good group. So they don't necessarily like each other. Now, what works with Rubber Duck? Because you're not blood related. You don't even live together. You didn't go to school together. Hold on. Who went to school with who? No one. You didn't go to school together. And you're not the same age. But there's just a formula about Rubber Duck that works. And what is it? What works between you guys? I mean, we know Millie's like the chum of the show, of the whole band.
I think one of the big things is we all have the same kind of dreams, you know, like the same destination that we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and work ethic and we're mates. I think we're mates before we work together. And it helps. Having good relationships. We spend enough time together. We might as well live together, you know. So, yeah, it helps if you get along.
Okay, but now when there's four of you and you all live together, except for Miss Tinder, then they are. I don't know why I said that again, but then like we have a gig. I know because you know we've got groupies. You've got your own girls, and then we've got groupies like me and Sugar Duck would be like, you know, and then we how does that work? Because you find that all of a sudden, like now, Sheldon's girlfriend doesn't necessarily like your girlfriend or Brendan. But then you guys want to hang out. And like, you know, we want to go for drinks on a Sunday afternoon, go sit by the market, Fourways Market or whatever, and just chill. But now because you guys want to stick together, how do you accommodate the people in your lives?
They must get along.
Full stop. That's all.
That's all.
Next question.
like that. So if you don't want to get along, you must ship out, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you date one of us, you date all of us.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now, let's talk about relationships.
We can't leave it there. I don't think we can leave it there. That was hectic. Yeah, I feel bad if we leave it like that.
Okay. Tell us.
I think, you know, also coming back to the previous question, I think music is such a beautiful thing that it brings people from different parts, you know, different parts of life. And we're all different ages. We all grew up at different times.
Yeah.
But our music brings us together and help share love and light. You know, that's the whole vibe.
Exactly.
And then with the girls share that kind of attitude, lifestyle, because that's what it is. It's a lifestyle, you know?
Absolutely.
You just can't be a boyfriend of a band or a person in a band. You're a boyfriend of the whole band.
But, okay, Nick, tell us.
Sorry, I want to chip in here as well.
Yeah, chip away.
Going back as well, I think, you know, we have all failed before. We've all been in bands that we thought were really great. We've all done that and we've all learned the hard way. We put in a lot of years to eventually put this group together, which just came together. And I think by that happening, we were all very close because suddenly we had this great music that we were producing that wasn't forced to to get onto radio or to whatever it is. It was just how we were. And then I think going back to the girls, I think it's a very big difference dating a guy you don't know who's been in a band before. So, or meeting the guy and then realizing he's in a band and then trying to fit into that lifestyle, as opposed to meeting the guy while he's in the band, where you know who he is and where he's come from, to be where he is, because then immediately you fit into his life as much as possible. Where it would be vice versa too, if your girlfriend is in the same kind of entertainment, it'll probably help because they understand where you're coming from. So it is very difficult, I've found in the past, in my past relationships, that girls who date you who aren't familiar with the industry. It's very hard to date a musician. It really is. And we'll be honest. I'm sorry for all the musos out there, but that's how it is. So, I just think we have found very, very cool girls who stick by us and who enjoy our music. That's the main thing as well. They really enjoy our music too, and they will dance and they will get along, and that's the biggest thing. So they fit in with the family, I guess.
But then don't you think that... Okay, and with what Emil just said, like, you know, music is so universal, it brings you guys together. Yeah. Don't you think besides that, it's not just the music, it's the type of people that you are and the energy you feed each other and what you feed off each other. So why we call the show Belighted, it's like we want to understand who is your point of light or as a band. Oh, by the way, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Rubber Duck. Eh? We're talking to Rubber Duck. The ducks that are made out of rubber. Okay. And there's like a very hectic story, which is a lie that I will not repeat on air. But then that's who we are talking to. We're talking to Rubber Duck. So as a band, what was your turning point, basically your point of light as a band where you actually thought, you know what? It has taken us what? 3, 4, 5 years, however long it did, where you're like thinking, okay, now we can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, that's the first thing that I need to know. When was the point of light for the band? And also, secondly, I also need to know individually as people, who or what was your turnaround point in life when you knew that, okay, fine. It's not like because I was a work receptionist, then I picked up a guitar. It was because I woke up and I said, this is exactly what I want to do. And you stuck with it. And what made you, what convicted you? What was the conviction? What was that light bulb moment that say, okay, this is it. This is what I want to do.
Wow. Sure. look, I think going back to the start, I know that, you know, everything happens by chance. And I think we just threw something out there that we didn't know what would happen. We just thought, you know, let's give it a shot as Rubber Duck. I mean, everything just seemed to happen. We were asked to fill in for a band that pulled out and we had never played together. And we just, Brendan and I just got together. We're like, okay, cool. Let's do this. And we did some covers. And then Nana actually came to watch that first show, who's our manager, as you know. And from there, she just wanted to work with us. And from there, we got booked for a festival from our very first show. And then we got Sheldon on board, who we had played with Nana. So I think the beginning, the initial part was, you know, there is a a golden thread here, which is mm-hmm. Nana, to kind of brought the sound together in a sense, because she introduced us to Sheldon, okay. who played the saxophone, which gave us a chance to now experiment with the saxophone and folk sound, you know, you don't really get. And then we did that, and then that happened. And then, so I think it was just something that, you know, organically came together really well. And then going back personally to when I knew what I wanted to do, I just never stopped. I was singing in high school. I was singing after school. I gave up rugby for music. I just saw it as a career that I'd really enjoy and I'd really love to carry on with. I wouldn't want to have it any other way. And that takes a lot of guts. It takes your parents going, look, you're living the dream. You know, it's time to stop living the dream.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. And then you study for them eventually. Yeah. And then you hear so many stories from people who wish they could have done, just carried on with it and never did. But then you also get those people who carry on with it and then it never happens.
Yeah. And should have studied.
Yeah.
So you're right.
So yeah, so it's very difficult.
And what was your point of light, Brendan?
I lived in, my family moved to Copenhagen in Denmark for a couple of years for my dad's work. And when I was there, the school I went to, they had a big like arts cultural program. And you had to take a culture subject. So it was either visual arts or drama or music. And I was 12 and I was like, I'm far too much of a man to do visual art or drama. So I took music.
And you can't act.
And I can't act. So I took music and I found I really enjoyed it. And I was learning it quickly, had an ear for it, and I picked it up quite quickly, you know. And I never actually put down the instruments after that, you know. And it's those little things that by chance you end up doing something completely different. I mean, it could have been a completely different path in life, you know. So it's just one of those things.
Cool. Sheldon?
For me it feels... like that it was just completely natural and meant to be, because when I was 10 years old, it was the first time I'd seen someone playing the saxophone live in front of me. And from then I just knew, I just literally turned to my mom as we were watching this lady play the saxophone and said, that's exactly what I want to do, you know. And obviously she didn't know if it was a stage, like a phase that I was going through. But apparently I nagged her every day for like weeks until eventually she said, okay, fine, I'll get you a saxophone. And I just kept it up.
That's one damn light switch. I'm gonna do that.
Exactly like that.
Wow.
So it feels really natural, like it was just meant to be, you know.
Yeah. Emil.
Yeah.
Why the bass?
You know. So I started playing music in church from a very young age. You know, keep it gospel. Guitar. Bass, do it all, you know, sound engineering, why not move the fader? And and I fell in love with it in its in entirety, like music, just gear and stuff. And then opportunity came to work at a music shop. Like, yeah, I want to do that, make contacts, meet some industry people, I want to do this. And the reality of the music industry hit me hard that year. Unless you are the absolute best, unless you are everyone's friend, unless you know the right people, a handful of people make it through. So true. I left the music shop and got a real job. I was a DSTV installer.
Yeah, man, you know what? There's something wrong with my DSTV. Can you come through?
You know? I'd make people's curtains close automatically with iPads and stuff like at home theater systems. And it was a really cool job. I love technology. It's still gear, you know?
Tell us now.
But I remember I was crawling around someone's ceiling in Bryanston, pulling DSTV cables. And I was just like, this is not for me. And I had money. That was the weirdest thing. I had money. I just bought a car. Things were looking up. It was the first time in my life. Like family stuff was going good. I was just like, come on, buddy. This is not what you want. You know, you want to do music. Gosh. Spoke to my dad. My dad's a pastor. So he was like,
can we pray about it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that vibe. Like, are you sure? Did you hear from him? You have confirmation, you know, and you know, I think for all of us, our families are extremely supportive of all of us, you know, and with their help and stuff like that, focused on it 100%, and we're here now.
And you're here now. We're talking to Robert Duck today, and we're just going to take a short break, and they're going to come and play for us. And when we come back, we're going to speak to Sugar Duck. Let's see how she threads this whole thing together.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters. At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Yeah, we're chilling with Rubber Duck in studio, and they're going to play here, unplugged. Okay, they're not even unplugged. We didn't even plug anything. So I don't know if we can call it unplugged, because we never plugged anything in the first place. So they're going to play their single from their new album, The Secret Sunrise. It's their debut album, by the way. It's the first album, the first of many. And they're going to play their single, Are We There Yet? If you do not know it, then clearly, like I said, you need to get the duck out of here, because you're supposed to know, Are We There Yet? It's been on the charts for quite some time. They're quickly and very, very fast climbing the charts. So that is the song. So Nick is on vocals. Emil, who's always on bass, today is going to be the rhythmator.
The click guy.
Ne? And I'll just go somewhere. Ne? And Brendan is on guitar and Sheldon is on sax. Yeah. Ladies love the sax man. Okay, guys, take it away.
More caffeine, the doctor says that you're gonna be alright. What the doctor don't know is that I got it all online. Time we take, you know we gotta give our eyes a break. Oh, our minds are wasted, only care about a lady's status. Update, cause are we there yet? Are we all there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We are needing to start a little healing when the time is right. Let go your way. Just forget the mention. We don't need the attention. Are we there yet? Now are we there yet? Sweet, is that now how we meet these days? Yeah. We are victims of online crazy. Another invite to Candy Crush. We can't get enough of our social crutches. Whatever happened to real discussion? Are we there yet? Are we all there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We are needing just a little healing when the time is right. Let go your way. Just forget the mention. We don't need the attention. Read a book for when they look like go your way. All our lives we streaming what we told yourself being. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Wow. Woo! Yeah. Are we there yet? That's Rubber. Rubber Duck.
Thank you.
In studio. Wow, guys. I don't know, I'm getting so emotional, but anyway. Sugar Duck. That's Nana. Nana Stapelberg. Nana is an actress. Oh, she's going to say she was, but she is. She is an actress. And she has her own production company. She runs events. She does concept, creative concepts. Anything that you want to sell and you don't know how to sell it, Nana is the girl to call. And she does that. So, but you can imagine how she shocked everyone else who has known, who was used to her being in the boardroom. Okay, but even when I say she's in the boardroom, she did the, like, the most crazy things. She's those people that when they pitch an idea, she climbs on tables to show. Like, she's very, very expressive and illustrative. She jumps around, and you'll find the suits are, like, just confused. Like, okay, why is she jumping on the table now, you know? And now next thing, she surprises all of us, and here we are. She is managing Rubber Duck, and she's actually one of the... she's like the key point because
what's that word we use, the national key point
she's like the national key point of Rubber Duck right now. And hi, Nana.
Hello.
How are you, Sugar Duck?
I was so good.
You are so
good. 21st lady.
Of course.
I was listening to you all talking about that point of light thing, and I think what was so exciting for me is, like you say, I've been in the entertainment industry for a long time as a performer. I've worked with so many people. And then when I saw those two, Nick and Brendan, at that very first show, it really was like lightning. Yeah. They were like, I think, two notes into the first song when something said to me, this is something special. And I have never been unhappy in my work life. I mean, yes, the occasional unpleasant people, but generally... I've been lucky. I've been an actress. I've run an event company. I've made shows. I've traveled the world, putting fun things together. But since I've been with these boys, this has really been the happiest I've ever been. I wake up every morning looking forward to what we're doing, even if we're fighting, even if there's like, it's like a family. There are going to be days where we fight. But it literally was like, there was just no other way.
Yeah.
And when they came together and as they started adding, like when Emil joined and that was like that final little perfect piece of puzzle. And there it was. You could not, You just had to.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that about them. And we really are. There's such a lot of care in this group of people, the way people look after each other and have each other's backs. And even yes, we're honest. I think that sometimes is the key to why we get on.
You see what happened to Emil for being honest?
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry. And now everyone has been using it against him.
But that's what keeps it going as well. So when somebody gives you trouble or you're not happy or you want to growl at somebody, you growl and it gets said and it gets done and it gets out there. And then everybody goes, okay, lekker. Can we have some biltong and go now?
Okay. So, Nana, I know that you like I don't know what you call it. You're like the fixer. The fixer of like if one string goes pop, you have a solution. It's like you take out the string out of your bra. You're like, here we go.
Yeah, just use my bra strap.
Use the bra strap and just keep playing, you know? But I know that managing a band, it is not a child's play. Everyone thinks that, okay, I'm going to manage the band and we're all going to be famous. And then some managers, they start thinking they're more famous than the actual band. And, you know, they start having all these like list of demands during shows. And the next thing, the band doesn't understand why they're not getting booked. And they keep saying, no, because you keep asking for 12 bottles of vodka every show. And they're like, we don't even drink. But it's because the manager put it on their, tech rider.
Yeah.
And how has it been trying to put them together? Because I know with the band, working with a band, musicians, we're always over eager. We want to get things done now. We don't understand when things are not happening right now.
Mm.
And sometimes you find that people are not even musically educated. They don't know a lot of stuff. So you find that people end up with like the weirdest, the toughest, the like... The cuckest,
the cuckiest contract ever, you know? And I know that's something that you've always been passionate about, not only in music, but even with artists, even some of the contracts that you've done when you do live shows and all of that, you know, client will say something, you'll be like, whoa, I don't agree with clause number 7.
I know, on Twitter,
the non-get clause, from Euphonic.
I know.
It's like, this clause, remove it, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you find balance? Because then there'll be times where they'll be like, but we really, really want to do this show. And you're like, no, you might want to do this show, but in the long run, it's not worth it. Yeah. How do you balance that with these four boys?
Well, it is a balancing act. I think what has always been very important to me is that people are informed.
Yeah.
That I think too often, and we both know this in the industry we come from, that there are so many people out there who will use up, chew up and spit out people who do not have the knowledge at their fingertips. And you know that I've always been that person who kind of goes, not with my people. I will stand up and fight. So I do often have to put myself between the band and people.
Yeah.
But it's not been so difficult with this lot. But we just have to... One has to be careful. You have to read things carefully. And if you don't know, stop and ask somebody. And if something looks not right, chances are that it isn't right. And then ask. And, you know, we're lucky. Yep. Phone up one of our sisters and go, can you check this contract?
Yeah.
Let me know. It feels wrong. Help me out. I think so often what happens is people, I think Nick has something.
It can feel really good too. So you also got to be careful of that.
Yes, that's the other thing.
That's also one of the big ones. You've got to be careful. Because when things look too good, sometimes they are. So you got to.
And we really do work as a team. I think a lot of people think that one person or two people make up what happens with a band.
It's not this.
You're only seeing some of the team.
We see the face of the team. Yeah, because there's like other people involved.
And we've been so lucky, and just it's been amazing how many people have wanted to be part of this and who've been willing to help us, and people who just come on board and want to partner with us.
I mean, I've been trying to get a solo. It's not working.
You have not been trying hard enough. I haven't heard the song. I don't know. Where's the harmony?
It is coming.
Can I just jump in there?
Jump in, Emil.
Like Nana said, there's lots of moving parts and a whole bunch of people, but I think we're very lucky. Nana kind of captures what we want in a great way that makes other people want to be even, you know, want to work with us even more than just take our money and work with us, you know? Because that's what happens. People just, they're up and coming. That's cool. Let's charge them this much, you know?
Yeah.
Get it out, bang it out, finish, claw, carry on with your life, you know?
So definitely there's an element of trust, you know? If she says, okay, you know, you guys are going to have to trust me that I'm going to help you sort this out or pick proper gigs for you. Because if you don't trust each other, then it becomes a bit of a problem, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why you find people like, I mean, they go that way and someone else throws a tantrum. Okay, now tell me, Nana, because I know these guys will lie to me. I mean, Nick lied in the first five minutes of the show.
No, he's terrible. He is so bad. Then let the cat out of the bag about stuff. Now, Nick cannot to be trusted. Okay, he's to be kept that was
going to, I was going to say, who's the one not to be trusted, especially about other people's stuff?
I'm afraid in many ways, yes, it is Nick. He's very enthusiastic.
I know.
So he'll tell the story. He gets so excited. I constantly have to kick Nick under tables in meetings because he just gets so enthusiastic about stuff, and then he wants to tell everybody everything.
So
you just gotta keep it interesting, okay?
Oh yeah, right. Okay,
no, Nick is so
who's always on time and who's always late?
always late is Sheldon. Sheldon is late by nature. Sheldon, I phone Sheldon to make sure he's awake. Then I phone him again to make sure that he's run the shower.
Yeah,
I want. He must hold the phone so I can hear the shower that he's actually up. Then I phone again to make sure he's got out the shower without falling asleep again.
Yeah.
So really, you know, Sheldon is notorious. Emil is early, which is not a good thing because I run.
Yeah,
they're just on the edge of on time.
Yeah.
So Emil often arrives when I'm in my towel with my hair still wet, which is, yeah.
Sheldon,
Brendan fluctuates on time. He's sometimes good and sometimes bad.
Depends on the humidity, you know. So
but hold on, but hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
Nana can make being on time late, though. That's the difference. So we are all on time, and but she goes, no, but we're all 10 minutes early. But I still have 10 minutes left until we're about to leave. Or she'll be like, okay, we're on time, we're about to leave. Okay, guys, hold on, I just need to brush my teeth.
And that takes 15 minutes.
Have you ever witnessed Nana brush her teeth?
Yeah.
That's a good 8 minutes. Yeah. 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Yeah. Top and four.
Yeah, and two for the time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that makes it 10 minutes. Okay. Now I know you guys have been all over. I mean, you've been traveling. I've been following up with everything that you guys were doing. What is the funniest thing that has ever happened? Did anyone leave their passport and you only noticed when you got to the border of Botswana?
We have smuggled Sheldon into Lesotho.
What? Yeah. How did you guys do that?
We put him in the back of the car.
There's so much gear in the back of the van, so we just put him in between the guitars and everything.
How did you? What happened to your passport?
I lost my passport. And then obviously, being the person that I am, I left it until a week before to try get a new one. And then that didn't work. So I got a temporary passport, but Lesotho... They don't allow it, exactly. So then the only other option was to kind of just...
So we left the Mexican guy in the van.
what did we call him? What did we call him when he went? Carlos.
Carlos.
Carlos. I think it was Carlos for the weekend.
Is that video actually? Why don't I know that story? Yeah. That's so weird. Okay, and then, okay, that is crazy. And then what is the? I know you guys always have a good time. What has been the worst show? Okay, you don't have to say it was at Cliff Central, for instance. You don't have to tell me the name. But have you had like one of the downers that you felt like after you've performed, you're like, goodness.
Yeah.
That show really, really went bad. And it does. I'm not even talking about the band playing. I'm talking about whether it was logistics, maybe the weather, maybe the whole management of the whole thing. I don't know. Have you had that one?
Yeah, we've had a very, 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 very bad show. Like, actually quite recently, when you travel a very far distance to play a show and you get there and things just aren't, like, you know, when you got a sound company, will not mention names, who don't supply the right tech or right gear, where your mixing desk isn't a mixing desk, it's a computer, where they're trying to go too digital, where it's not really even there yet.
That sounds bad.
Even here at a digital radio station, we have
a mixing desk.
Mm. Yeah. You know, the crux, the fundamentals.
Yeah.
When it's to the point where, you know, sound companies and sound engineers can make a band sound really bad. To the audience, they think the band is bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the band. It's actually what's being mixed out the front. And that we work strongly, rely strongly on our sound being great. That's why we have Tepo as our sound engineer, who he's so great, because we're representing a brand and we're putting out a product that people need to hear, a consistent product that they need to hear.
Yeah, true.
So the moment someone screws with our product,
It throws everything out
because you can even see it. We could actually feel it in the crowd. The energy wasn't the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And then immediately on stage, you're fighting that whole show because the energy is not the same. Then the band who was after us had the exact same problem. And then when we saw it, we were like,
"Yo, guys,
this is terrible."
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were a great band. They're a good band.
Because that's energy as well. You know, it's not just amplified music.
If you're not feeling it on stage, and you're not interacting with the crowd, it's so difficult to give your best shot and give your performance. You know?
And also, you know, you know your best. You know what you need to work with, which is going to make you sound your best. You know that. And a lot of sound companies, or smaller ones, wherever it is, a lot of companies get it right.
Yeah.
But a lot of them take chances and think they know what's best for you as an artist, which they don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get some really, really chances. You get a lot of chances, and you get guys who are just great to work with.
Yeah. Okay, now, I know you've had very good shows, so I didn't know you've had a bad show, that I had to ask that. But what do you guys, what are your dreams for Rubber Duck? Like, what do you see? And I don't like that question. Like, where do you think you're going to be 5 years from now? Because that you don't know. But what is it that when you're sitting down and in your heart of hearts, you know that if this can happen, if we can get there, if we can do that in front of this crowd or at a particular place, then you will be completely content. What is it that you're working towards, and what is it that you're dreaming for and hoping for?
I hope it never changes, and I hope for the fact that we will always stay how we are, and like we just believe being humble is the way to go. Like, you know, we never want to be that group who asks for a carpet in their bathroom.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Remember that people are paying you to provide them a service. That doesn't mean taking advantage of them. No matter how big you get, I just hope that we stay as humble as we are now, and we always will stay that way,
mm-hmm.
and then stay as close as we are. I think that's really, really important in success, and be as and collaborate as we do. I think that's important. I think obviously our dreams are obviously yes. Let's take over the world, man. Let's get out there. Let's get our music to as many people as possible. However, if one of our songs changes someone in some way, or it will affect someone in some way for the positive, I mean, I think that's our job done. I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the day, we're sending a message to our music. And if it's able to affect you or anyone, you know, or can help you through something that's tough or make you happy, that's our job done. I think that's what music's there for.
And that's why we have this show.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Belighted, because you never know. Sometimes you're just standing there and singing "That Damn Zebra Is a Horse."
Yeah.
But someone is looking at you thinking, 12 years from now, 10 years from now, I would want to be on a stage like that. Because sometimes you live your life, people live lives without knowing what's happening, you know, haphazardly. But then when you focus on what you're doing, there's someone else who's watching, who's learning, who's trying to see what it is that they can take from you.
I think also there's some very refreshing things. Like, you think as you start breaking into the industry and as you start becoming a household name or whatever you want to call it, you start also realizing that all these people are just people too.
Yeah.
So all of your people that you looked up to are normal people. Mm. And they just like you, they interact like you, we go for drinks with them, we have coffee with them. They're just people like us. So I mean, it's great. So even with the new bands that come up who play before us, we make sure that we are extremely friendly to them.
Yeah.
Because we were there once.
Absolutely. You know?
We also know what it's like to get talked down to because you're the new kids. You know? Yeah, you get both sides of it, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine, but then you still manage to stay humble anyway. That's Rubber Duck. I can't believe we're out of time. Like it's gone. It's finished. Sure. No time whatsoever.
Sure.
But you guys, I can definitely tell that you're onto something great. I can't wait to see you 5 years from now. I'll pay my ticket to come and see you in London. I'll take my kids with, you know, and we'll come and watch your show. You guys are definitely light, and I hope that each and everyone who's listening, they can be lighted by your beautiful and wonderful stories. And keep shining and keep being that light. And Miss Nana, what can we say, man? Keep doing what you do, because the love is just absolutely great and awesome. You've been listening to Belighted with Rami, without Romeo today, which is absolutely fantastic. I forgive him. But we had a good time. And until next time, we'll talk. Find us on Twitter at Belighted Show, on cliffcentral.com as well for the podcast. And also, follow us on Insta, on Twitter, and find us on Skype and WeChat, Cliff Central. And that's it for today, and we'll be back with you next week. You guys are absolutely fantastic. Be lighted.
Thanks,
Rami. This is Kwela Teza.
And you're listening to Be Lighted with Rami and Romeo on
Cliff Central. This is CliffCentral.com.